Some of you don't, so I'm going to tell you a little bit because I feel like once you know somebody, you can relate to them better. So I'm Bryce. I'm an elder here at Lamplight Church, but I'm an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
First and foremost. And I'm Jim, Pastor Jim, and Barbara's other son. Because I've probably been here, I can't even remember how long, but anyway, Pastor Jim married Sharon and I in 1980, and when we was having service in Resurrection. And we got 7 kids, 19 grandbabies. So they all around, they everywhere. And both of us were born in Monroe, which that's where you guys live, Pastor Don and Michelle and his family live in Monroe. And we came to Charlotte in 77, I think it was, and been going to Lamplight ever since then, ever since we came here. And Pastor Jim was one of the kind of pastors, if you miss more than 2 Sundays, he'd show up on your job and want to know what's going on, but he'd kiss you first, so everybody would, you'd be embarrassed in front of everybody, and you'd have to explain to those guys that you were, that you wasn't gay, but anyway, that's another story. But it's been real good, and I'm sure a lot of you guys just like me don't even got a clue what it cost you to be here today. You know, because God, if you look back, God brought us, me, from a long, 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 long way. So I'm here today and glad to be here. And I know probably everybody that's sitting in these chairs except a few and have been praying for you guys and been in your life a long time and love it. So with that, all that being said, Pastor Mike, I'm a certified lifeguard too. So I lifeguarded a swimming pool for about 20 years. I went to Wingate College and got a WSI, water safety instructor, license so I could teach swimming, but it's not legal right now because you have to teach a free swim class every year to keep it renewed, and I've let it go. But anyway, so I'm going to be there.
Amen.
at the pool, and I love to swim, so that's a good thing. I'm going to be there with you guys. And that's just a little bit about what's going on with me. It's a privilege and an honor to be here, especially to be able to speak to you guys. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord has given me this week. And probably won't take up too much of your time. But one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And with that being said, reason being, God told me one time, in a dream, I could say, I wasn't asleep, but it was like a dream. And I was concentrating on some things, debating, not getting out of automobile mechanics, because it was 1980 and they was talking about going to computers, and it scared me to death. I didn't want to do it. I said, they put a computer in the car. That's crazy. I'm through. I ain't going to do it no more. And the Lord showed me in a vision. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I was young and I didn't really know what that meant. And he told me just like this in a dream. I could see it. He said that if I put a car in this box, and it was in 1,000 pieces, however how many pieces the car is, everything that you need in that car, I mean in this box, to make this car run is in this box. Oil, gas, transmission fluid, tires, air pump, everything you need to make this car run, he said, you could do it. And I said, yeah, I could do that. He said, and that's why I said my people perish for a lack of knowledge, because you got a million people that won't have a clue how to put this together. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to work for Goodyear, and they're going to send you to school. And this is 1980, and I'm ready to go drive a garbage truck or anything. I just don't want to work on cars. So I went to work for Goodyear in 70-something. They sent me to school in 80, and I finished that school top of the class, in automobile mechanics. So I worked for them a long time, about 30-something years. I worked for them as a mechanic troubleshooter. So that's being said, this is what I want to say. Let me put my glasses on because I can't see. I'm close. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And this lack of knowledge is knowing God and know what he wants from you. See, that's the key. Knowing who he is, and then knowing what he wants from you. So we understand that God is God and he's all by himself. No Buddha, nobody else compares or is on the same level. God didn't say it wasn't other gods. He just said he was the only one. So with that being said, we know who he is. We understand who he is. First of all, if we're had a life-changing experience, that means if you have given your life and your heart and everything you are to him, then you are a new creature and you understand it, who he is. So we understand who he is, but then what does he want from you? See, now that's where a lot of people get stopped right there. What it is that he wants from you, because they never go far enough to see what it is he wants from them, or they say, like Pastor Don was saying last week, I don't hear him saying anything. Well, he's talking all the time. And it's through nature, it's through people, it's through his word, it's through everything that you can see God is in it. So he's saying to you, this is what he wants from you. He wants to know from you. Well, let me back up. First of all, he wants to know this. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body? And then second of all, you have to be able to love your neighbor the same way. Now we're on the right track, if you're able to do that. Because a lot of people, they can do the first one, but they skip that second one. Because they say, I'm mad at my mom. I'm mad at my neighbor because he throw trash in my yard. Whatever the reason, but we have to understand that it's God in us that enables us to love the unlovely. And see, if you don't have a love for Christ, then it's impossible for you to love Mike, me, Michelle, anybody else. We can say that with our mouth, but when it comes down to it, what will you do? And see, that's where it is. And so, when we get down to that, if you love God and then you love your neighbor, then the next thing is what's expected of you. What's expected of you for us, for each other, our everyday lives, where we go, what we do, because when we come in here and assemble on a Sunday morning, it's basically for uplifting, upbuilding of each other, hearing from God and worshiping him. It's where we get our power, our ability to go through the whole week. If we can make it, some people can't make it past Wednesday, but some people can't make it past the first day they wake up. But saying we don't have to be in church every day to stay saved. Or to stay in God's hands, but you have to understand he gave us each other. And we have to encourage each other. We got to be there for each other. And that's something that we have really, the church as a whole has slacked off being there for each other. They think you can watch it on TV or hear it on the tape and get the same results, and you can't do it. Can't do it. What we need is each other. I need to be able to see you. You need to be able to see me. because that way you'll know what I need, what you need, and we get those things from building up of each other by knowing God. And when we know Him, He enables us to look at Mike and myself and you and Michelle, and we say, you know what? God, Jesus came for people, not for things, not for buildings that people worship, not for all of these bishops and no discredit to those, but all of these people that people put in higher places than they put God. And that's, we should never do that. We should love the pastor. We should obey the pastor. That's our job. He speaks into our life because God's planning us here and that type of thing. We have to know our role and know where we fit in. And when you do, you can have peace that passes all understanding. You can have that lifestyle where when the storm comes, you're able to withstand those things. You're able to call me, call Mike. For a long time, my number, for a lot of years, my number was on the front door, my phone number. And I see it's somebody's taking it down. But as an elder at Lamplight, one of the things that we had to do was we had to be available for the people. And I think that's the way it should be, because see, when somebody calls you, they need you right then. Or at least they need to talk to you right then. Because God has given us the words for the people that we serve. That's just all it is too. You know, you can go to the drugstore and the doctor can prescribe a pill or whatever for you, a temporary fix. But we as leaders have the words of life because of God, not because of us, but because of what God has entrusted us to. And so we have that ability to say, look, you need to do this or you don't need to do that. Because we got a lot of people that is actually out to get something for nothing. And those people we need to recognize as well as the needy. And we're going to get into that a little bit here in a minute. Micah 6:8. If you want to look at that, this is what the Lord requires of you, of us, all of us, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. That's what he requires of us. So if you didn't know what he requires of you, that's it. That's three things he requires of you. And see, the one of the things that I said for a long time is the church have actually stopped being the justice part of the government that they used to look to. They've stopped because the credibility of the church and its leadership has gone way down. And so us relinquishing that power to the government, they've taken it over. And you know, unless you got money, a good lawyer, or know somebody, justice is just not for you in the court system. That used to be the church's job. Also, it used to be the church's job to take care of the widow, the brokenhearted, all of those things that the church did for a long time. Some of them still do. But that was the job of the church. And now we have allowed other things, social services and this and that, to tell you how to raise your kids, to actually give you a paycheck where they can control you. Because that's basically what that is. They won't give you enough money to get out of the situation that you're in. But they won't allow you to make enough money so you stay in the situation that you're in. You can't own nothing. You can't, your mama can't give you a car. Your papa can't help you. You know, if they do, then what's going to be is you're going to stop getting any kind of assistance. So you never get to that next level. You're stuck where you are. So I suggest that if that's happening, then what we need to do is we need to make a way in the church as a whole, to help and establish people in their lives. That's our job. That's what we are supposed to. That's talking about the justly part of those three things. And we have failed as a church. I'm talking about on a whole. I'm not talking about Lamplight. But y'all know it. Because the church, if it was doing what it was created to do, then jobs, widows, the money, everything else that people need to survive, even to the building of barns back in the old days, where the churches would get together, build barns and feed everybody that came to build a barn. Those type of things that was done back then should be done now, except we ain't building barns, we're building people's lives. That's what we should be building, people's lives, helping them. And I guess the other part of that thing is to love mercy. Well, the thing about love and mercy is, this is the best, let me see how to say this, the best explanation of mercy is, you didn't get what you deserved. We didn't get what we deserved, and still don't get what we deserve because of him. That's mercy. Now, we should be able to show mercy to the people. That's our job, to be able to show mercy. And part of that thing is, just like if we see somebody with a flat tire, somebody that's standing in the rain that needs an umbrella. And I think I shared this a little while ago, as a testimony, but I had this lady that was parked in front of the dollar store, and I was in the dollar store, and I don't remember going to the dollar store. Sharon sent me to the dollar store. So I was in front of the dollar store, and it was a lady sitting out there in a car, and I didn't realize that she was handicapped. She was sitting right out there in front of the dollar store. And I could see from inside the store, she was asking everybody that came by that car something. I didn't know what she was asking them. I didn't have a clue. So when I came out, she said, Mister, she said, would you go in there in the dollar store and just get two things for me? And I didn't have time, but right away, I knew that I was supposed to go get those things. I mean, I just knew. I didn't have time to do it. But as I looked in the car and she was going to give me the money, I saw that she was handicapped, that she had some kind of braces on her leg and probably couldn't walk and that kind of thing. Had these things in her car that she drove it with. You know, it wasn't normal things like people drive a car. So it was some matches so she could light a gas stove or something, and it was some milk that she wanted me to go in there and get. I went in there and got it for her, stood in line again and got it for her, and brought it back to her, and I ain't charged her anything. I didn't even take her money. But that's the kind of things that if we'll look, that's in your life every day, somewhere, out just about, you know, if you look, if you pay attention. I am the watchman on the wall because I pay attention to everything. I mean, if something's happening around me, I know what's happening around me without even saying anything or looking, you know, to see what's going on, or trying to be nosy. I just know what's going on, you know, around me. I just know. And so that's one of the things that I don't know how many people passed her up and wouldn't do it. They wouldn't even consider doing it. But that's the kind of things that you understand, that God saved you for a purpose. And he has a job for us to do that's not actually working to keep anything of salvation because it wouldn't have been any need for Jesus. But what it is for each other, for people. That's what he came for. That's what Jesus came and died for, was us. his people. It's not what a lot of people would think it is. And we have lost that ability to really just look, see what's going on, help people around us. You know, a lot of times it don't take much, but I think that's what he called us to. And then if you look, I want to, give you, Proverbs 29:7. It said the righteous care about justice, but for the poor, the wicked don't understand knowledge. And that's what I'm talking about. They, whenever they see you help somebody, or they see you doing a good deed or something, that's almost foreign to them, because the wicked, they don't do that. They think that's strange. They think that's not a good thing to do. They think, well, you weak because you did that. And a lot of times they push you to the limit. They say, well, you know, that's Bryce, and I see how he is now. And I don't even know how he used to be, but what I'll do is I'll see what I can get out of him. And trust me, they do. They watch you. They watch you like that. They do. And see, the thing that they don't consider is, I'll just give you an example. It's this guy that I grew up with in Monroe, and I went to school with him. And he came to Goodyear, and I worked on his car. And he said, "Oh, I heard you got saved going to a white church." And he said, "What's that all about?" Tell me, I remember when you used to beat up white people. I said, I didn't do that because I wanted to. I said, that was a choice. And he said, "I think you just got weak." He told me that. And he kept saying to me, you know, "What makes you different? Why are you different?" And I told Pastor Jim this a while back. And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what's different. Because, listen, I was standing there and I was about to get I was about to get hot because of the questions he was asking me and the way he was asking me to. And I feel like God said, tell him this. The difference is you asked me all these questions, and I ain't busted your head open yet." I'm telling you this. He didn't say another word to me. He didn't. It was just like, he shut up. Because that is the difference. And when God tells you something to say and you're obedient to it, you don't have any. Reasoning or for saying that is because I've seen that happen. I had another situation with this guy that changed tires at Goodyear, but he's been to church here a couple of times, and he professed to be a Muslim forever, and I don't know what he is now, but he was saying in Goodyear, and I liked the guy. I kept him from getting fired a lot of times because he was a tire changer, and when he came in, he wouldn't have his steel-toed boots on, he wouldn't have his ink pen, he wouldn't have his tire depth gauge, he wouldn't have his uniform on, and that was grounds to get sent home. So he would come in like that all the time. And I told the management, "Listen, you send him home, you're going to change them tires because I'm not going to do that." So I saved him a lot of times from being fired. And actually, when I quit, they did fire him. But he said to me, he said, "I heard about the God that you talk about, that you serve and this and that and other and all that kind of stuff." He said, "And I don't believe none of that." He said, "I believe in the Muslim way and all the things that," he said, "went along with it," which is a long story. And I felt like God said to me, "Bernard, this is what the word say. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And in that, he said, he's going to break your legs and make your tongue move in your mouth, and you ain't have no control over it. He shut up. and never brought Muslim up to me again as long as we worked in that store. But see, if I would have argued with him or did anything other than what God said, it probably would have been different. But those type of things have made me where I am because of being obedient to God. And it's a learning experience because it didn't just happen, you know, just like that. It didn't. You know, people might believe with age it gets better, but it don't. It really don't. It don't get any better. They say now you're too old to cut up. That's what I get now. You know, you're too old to act like you used to. I said, well, you think that if you want to. But anyway, so I still get a lot of things, even from my mama, from my family. You know, why are you still going over there? Why are you still doing this? And when you tell them, because God, they can't argue with that, but they still don't. They just don't believe it. They don't believe it. They say, what is in it? What is the gain in it? I say, I'm not in it for gain. I'm not in it for gain. I am in it. I'm over at Lamplight because I believe that's where I should be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then you get it from all sides. You just do. But Jesus said, you know, he didn't come to bring peace. In Matthew, I forget the chapter, but he said, I came to put mother against daughter and father against son. He said, it can happen right in your house. That's what he said in that same verse. So what you have to be is obedient to God. Let him be your all in all. And I guarantee you, he'll see you through. You know, he will meet your needs where you are, if you where he told you to be. And I'm witness to that. You know, I'm here because of that. And so, you know, you look and you wonder why a lot of people's not here that were here when you started. I'm just talking about me. And I understand that God changes. He's a constantly changing thing. But whenever you are in the place that God called you to be, then you're at peace with it. No matter what comes, no matter what goes. So you're at peace with it and you do what he's called you to do. All right. That's enough of that. But anyway, let me see. I got some things. God is really concerned about the poor, the needy, the widow, the alien, the oppressed. And I got some scriptures. I can give you I'm not going to read them, but I can give you the verses if you want to write them down. Exodus 22, 21 through 24. Just, on your own time, you can read that and see. Because he's still interested in the oppressed, the widow. He's interested in the alien, the one that's different from you all. Psalms 103 verse 6, Proverbs 22 verse 22 and 23, Nehemiah 5, 1 through 11. Proverbs 22 verse 22 and 23, Nehemiah 5, 1, verse 1 through 11, and James 5, 1 through 6. Awesome. You can look through there and see what God requires, you know, of us for to be able to help the needy, the widow, the oppressed, and those kind of things. Because, you know, if you really think about it, I think out of all those things, right now in 2011, we got more oppressed people than we ever had. Because if you really look at TV, newspaper, whatever, that is the premise of all the oppression. Because they tell you all the bad things. They don't tell you about the people that God's taking care of for $500 a month. See, because they would tell you, you can't do that. God can't do that. That's impossible. But the things like that that I know, that they don't want you to know, that the oppressed is big time. They are everywhere. They're being accused and everything else. It's almost like being in prison without being in prison, because once you get in prison, then they kind of program you to come back. And the reason why I say that is because you ever get a felony, then it's, unless you know somebody, it's impossible for you to get a job. So what you gonna do? Hit somebody in the head, you're gonna steal something. If you don't have God, you're gonna do something that's gonna take you right back down that road, so you'll be back in there again. And I see that all the time. I probably got 20 friends that's in, so-called friends that's in jail now because of felony charges. And they're right back in because they're comfortable in there. You know, they tell you when to get up, when to go sleep, and all that stuff. And you don't have to think. You don't even have to sit and contemplate nothing. You don't worry about who's going to take care of you, your kids, nothing else. You just sit there, get real comfortable doing nothing. And a lot of people get, they love that. So they get out, they're out 2 weeks, and they're back in. That's the way it goes, and it's sad. And that's the oppressed. I'm telling you, we got a lot of those people that need Jesus and need us to touch them, speak into their life, tell them it's a better way, that we do have a hope. You know, we got a promise that Jesus can get you out of the situation you're in and keep you out. So that's our job. That's part of our job, is to really reach out to those kind of people. And you don't see that happening much, even in our neighborhoods, because people are afraid to go from door to door or even speak to their neighbor because they're afraid of what he might say or might do. I know just about everybody in my neighborhood. Now, I think I got an advantage over you guys because they want me to fix their car. So they talk to me. They come knock on my door and they say, "Bryce, I need some help." And the thing about it that I like is, and I think Barbara gave me this statistic a while back, if she remembers, they said that mechanics are the highest suicide rate in the United States. I didn't know that. I think Barbara gave me that, if you remember. But I can see why, because I work with guys over the years and still do, that I've seen them get frustrated and throw wrenches through windshields. I've seen them back the truck up to and put it on the back of the truck, leave without saying anything. Because technology today in automobiles is something. Sometimes you can get in a Cadillac 23 onboard computers under the back seat, then you better be comfortable in what you're doing. Because it'll drive you crazy. It can. I mean, if you not cut out to do it, then you just don't need to do it. And that's with anything. That's what God called everybody to do. Everybody has something that you're comfortable doing, and that's probably what God called you to do. Because that don't faze me. But every time I see, most of the time I see people, it's not for routine maintenance. It's coming in on a record, or they are hot. I mean, they say, "I had this car down to Firestone, and it's worse than it was," you know, or whatever. But I see it every single day, and I'm very comfortable with it because God has given me the ability to be able to fix it first and then talk to them about where they are. Also, with pastors the same way, because I work on a lot of pastors' calls in Charlotte that won't even answer the phone for most people. And that's just the way it is. It's sad, but that's the way it is. But when they got their miracle down, sitting down at the Mercedes-Benz place, because that's what I call them now. They've said they went from actually real miracles, they're buying a Mercedes Benz, which is a miracle, which is their miracle. Oh, you know what I'm saying. If you understand what I'm saying, that's not a miracle. That's trouble is what it is, unless you got a lot of money. But anyway, we went from like you was talking about, Mike, not even expecting miracles when you can go down the food line and get what you want, or Walmart and buy what you need, and that kind, or buy it on credit. We don't expect the miracle to happen, and we should. But we live in a Western United States where even if you're home, you can go to a soup kitchen, or you can go to Lowe's and Fishers, or you can go wherever. And I'm saying that's a legitimate place and needs. They help a lot of people. But I'm saying what we ought to do is consider Jesus first. Because you end up going down there and you end up getting in a pattern. You'll stop considering him. I've seen it happen a lot of places, a lot of times. I've seen it happen. So what we need to do is we need to be fishers of men. We need to learn, we need to teach people what we know and what we have. And a lot of times when we go and give them a 12-step program, that's not what they need. I'm sorry. It's just not. And when you can say, if you do these 12 steps, you can be free, no, you can't. I'm just sorry, you can't do it. You can't, and it won't work. If it would, we wouldn't have what we got, that's for sure. So what we need is we need to tell people how Jesus can help them, how he can set them free, how he can get them out of the situation that they're in. Because, see, this is the thing. He gave us mercy even when we wasn't even thinking about him, when we wasn't saved, when we was out doing what the wicked do, when we was doing everything else everybody else was doing. He had grace. He had mercy for us then, and he watched over us. Some of them went the right path. Some of them went the wrong path. But he still gave us an opportunity. And that's what we need to be telling people, is that, listen, for people that know the Bible, he helped Daniel in the lion's den, and you ain't no different from Daniel. He helped Bryce when he was in Monroe, and he's in Charlotte now. There ain't no different. There's no different. It's not. And he can help you. He can help anybody that wants to be helped. He can. He can help you. He can show you how to be free and how to be delivered from whatever situation you're in, whether it's drugs, whatever it is. Yeah, but he is the answer, and he's the only answer. And we need to share. We need to be able to share that. We need to be able to tell people that. And I agree that we need to be able to tell them that in a good setting, a church setting, you know, where we got people around us that love us and all that kind of thing. But it's a good thing to be able to tell them that up when you're laying up on the car trying to put their wheel back on. Real good thing to know what it says without going looking it up. It is. It's a real good thing to know. And it's a good thing to know when to say it. It is. Because a lot of times you have people that wants to know from you what's different. They don't want Pastor Jim or Barbara or somebody else to tell them. They came to you, so you don't need to send them to them. You need to say, listen, this is what you need to do. And when we do that, I think the results are going to be, well, when the church as a whole do it, you're going to see this whole thing turn around. You'll see it. You'll be able to see it, because he has the answer and the key. But we want to put a Band-Aid on everything else, with money, with this, with whatever else. And it's really just delaying the process. That's what's going on. That's where we live. And you see it, and I see it. And sometimes we look the other way, and sometimes we don't. You know, but we need to be paying attention. That's what we really need to be paying attention to, what it is that God expects from you, what he wants you to do. And see, the thing about it, you think, you sit there and you think, I don't know what to do. Well, what should I do? Well, I'm telling you what to do. Whenever you see them things happen, when those opportunities arise for you, then be prayed up, be worded up, read that Bible. Pastor Jim used to say, I ain't going to embarrass nobody, but how many people read their Bible this week? Don't raise your hand. He used to say that a lot, but the thing about it is he said that if you went to lunch more than you read your Bible, you did God a disservice. As you understand, you need to know what's in there. And when the opportunity comes, you need to know what to say. And you won't know what to say unless you read it. You just won't. You know, you'll give them your answer or your, what you think the answer ought to be. But what we need is God's answer, his word. And you'll see the difference. You'll really be able to see the difference. A soft word turns away wrath. And I've done it 1,000 times. Because people like to push my button. It's better now than it have been, simply because I'm in a different environment. But they used to like to push my button. They just did. And I would give them a reason to push it too sometime, but I wasn't in a real, real good situation because my first wife that I was married to was a white lady in Monroe. And we were actually married, I had 2 kids, but the situation was it wasn't never gonna work. And I was 15 years old, I think, because my oldest daughter is 40 years old, and she was born when I was 15. Actually, her birthday is July the 5th, and my birthday is August the 5th, 1 month later. I turned 16. So, you know, God saw fit to just keep on moving me out of the way until I got to where he wanted me to be. And it wasn't easy. And that's why I'm telling you, it happened for me. It can happen for you. Easily. It can happen. Cause I didn't give up at first. It was a good long, hard battle. Some scars and everything else around that reminds me of, listen, you know, it ain't you put you here. It's God put you here in his own strength and in his own way, because really I shouldn't even be here, not living. And that's just the way it was. That seems tough, yeah. But you know what? You learn to just suck it up, because if you will allow him, I guarantee you, he can change you. If you allow him. And see what it is. It's that one step every day. It's that one thing every day saying, yes, Lord. That's what it is. It's that thing that you say, you know, I'm going to do that. Because if you ever just, it don't take much to go the other way. All of us really realize that right now. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. It don't take much to go the other way right now. So it's God that keeps us and not us that keeps ourselves. That's Psalms. If you think it's you keeping you, it's not. And when you figure out and realize what it is that he wants you to do, your purpose, and you'll be very, very content. And I'm talking about him. He didn't say he's going to make you happy, but you'll have joy and you'll have things, you know, at least you have peace. And that's what's important. That's what's important to us, because, you know, the thing about it is, you know it and I know it. When you got a peace of mind, you got something. But when you are bombarded in your mind, man, that's sad. That's a serious thing. I've seen it in my sisters, my brothers. You know, I got two brothers alcoholics. I got one sister that was committed to mental hospital, which she's out now. And that's because of prayer and God. And I've seen it happen firsthand. I've seen it happen. So when you got peace of mind, you got something that you can hold on to. You got something to look forward to. But when you are oppressed, you're oppressed. And I mean, you need a deliverer. And his name is Jesus. That's all it is to it. That's what you need. That's what we need. And so if it's anything that I could give you to take home, is listen, make prayer a lifestyle. Because if you're talking to him, he's talking to you, then you know you don't have to worry about later when the storms come, can I talk to him? Can I get in touch with him? Because, see, I'm telling you, if you live here, the storms are coming. That's all it is to it. They're coming. It might be big, it might be small, but you'll be able to endure those storms if you know Jesus. You will. You'll be able to endure those things. But without him, the devil's going to play with you. And the Bible said it, he would love to sift you like wheat if you guys know what sifting wheat is. It's like you're playing with it. And you study. You study, got a basket. You know, you're straining this stuff. You ever done it? It's not an easy job to do. But that's what the devil would like to do. That's what the Bible says. That's what it means. That he would like to sift you like wheat. It's a crushing and then a sifting. So it's not something nice. But we have an answer. And that's Jesus. And that's what I would love for everybody to know him for yourself. It's good, real good, to call somebody and say, pray with me, not for me. Agree with me and don't pray. I mean, it's okay to ask them to pray for you. But you say, listen, I done prayed. Now, I want you to pray with me. Because I want two of us to agree that this thing need to happen. And it need to happen quick. That's the kind of thing that I would love to see us get to. The place I would love to see us arrive at that place of maturity where it's good to get somebody to pray for you, but it's better to get somebody to pray with you. It is. If you make that a lifestyle, you'll see things change. You'll see your life change. You know, Jesus will put you on that straight and narrow. Not saying that you ain't going to fall off, but just know how to get back on. That's the thing, because when you're down and stay down, it's when you're defeated, not when you get down and get back up. And that's what we need to do. That's where we are. That's where we live. Every day. And nobody really has it easier than others. Now, we may think money would help. It would help. But if you ain't know what to do with it, you'd be right back where you were. Believe me. Trust me. I've seen people get hit the lottery. You have to be broke next week. Because if you don't know how to handle it, it'll handle you. Yep. The Bible said a fool and his money will soon part ways. Proverbs. And they will. Yep. They will. So don't think it's money all the time. If I had this, I'd be okay. No, if you had him, you'd be okay. That's the only thing that's going to make you okay. Now, it's good to be able to have money and then balance things, you know. Because I told this lady one time, she asked me to pray for her, and it's not being mean. But she said, pray for me that I have the money to pay my cable bill. And she was an older lady, and I just told her, come here. I said, Jesus ain't interested in your cable bill. I didn't want to tell that in front of everybody. But listen, that might be why you don't have the money. What you need to do is consider him. That's what you need to do. And if he gave you the money for your cable and it's on your fingernails, then that's where the money is. So you have to be able to tell people the truth. You really do. And Mike, I promise you, I see that all the time. You know, people want you, they would love for you to feel sorry for them and give them something. But they got their hair fixed and their fingernails done and their shoes on and all of that kind of stuff. And they rent some paid. That's crazy. It just is. That is crazy. And you have to tell them that's crazy. You do. And I can tell them that now. I used to say, listen, baby, I'll pray for you. But no, now I'm going to tell them, you know, that's where your rent is. You need to stop that mess. You knew. So this is where we live. It is. This is what we do. This is where we live. We have to be able to tell people the truth in love. But tell them the truth. You do. You just do. Tell them the truth. And I promise you, you'll see different. It'll be different. People will thank you for it. Most of them will anyway. They'll come back and say, listen, you know what you told me? You won't even remember. You know what you told me? That worked. And that's rewarding for me, which God don't have to do that. But that's rewarding for me. When I see things work in people's life, that's rewarding. It makes you want to keep on doing it. It is. But that's where we live, and we have to be able to tell people the truth about where they are. You know, they come in and they say, listen, you know, I had a hard time. I lost my job, this and that and other and all that kind of stuff. And I need something. That's good. You can sit down and tell them, listen, we can help you. But what we need to do is we need to pray and make sure that God knows that you need to get a job or that you need to downsize and get something that you can afford. And the whole deal, you need to know people and speak into their life the truth about where they are. You got something that you can't keep. I tell people about Mercedes, and I keep talking about cars because that's what I do. But I tell them about SUVs. I tell them all of that stuff. I've done about 5 seminars at different churches, and mostly women. I've done one at BCC. I think I had 400 women. Supposed to be 2 hours. I ended up staying there 6 hours because I understand the whole operation of a car, insurance on all the way down to the flat tire. Because if you get something, you buy something that you can't afford, that nail or whatever in the road is going to keep you from getting that, from being able to keep that car or whatever it is. It's this lady, she's young, was in college, had bought a Escalade, was paying almost $800 a month for that car. Took her income tax, put the big pretty tires and rims on it, and then went down 85 and tore 2 of them up, rims and tires. And the people that own the car has it back. So we need to think about things. Tell people the truth about where they are. That's my field. That's where I am. I tell them, you know, you can't afford that. Leave it alone. Don't mess with that. It may be pretty, but that ain't what you need. You know, I just tell them. I tell them the truth because I get a lot of calls like that a week and daily a lot of times, you know, and I tell them, listen, if you can afford to buy a Lexus. Why? That's the most expensive car out there because you won't have to work on it. Just drive it. I guarantee you that. Right now, it's the best thing going. That's free for y'all. It is. The Ford Edge is fantastic because they realize that they're getting behind. You know, they've been behind, but they realize if they don't make something that's worth buying, people are going to buy Lexus. So you starting to see Cadillac still don't buy a Cadillac. Lexus CTS, which is German technology, BMW. All that's free. But I know all of that stuff. So listen, I know that kind of stuff. And you guys need to know what y'all know, but just add Jesus in with it. Because the op is going to rise. And it do for me every single day. It just do. It do. It's there. It is there. So I get to talk to all the pastors that want more money and a bigger congregation. And I get to see the ones that they moving from this church to that church and that church to this church. And I get to hear them complain. But I tell them, you know what I tell them? Jesus is the answer. And if you're looking for something else, you're looking in the wrong place. And you would be surprised, really surprised, at how many pastors in this town I do know. And that they're, and what they're looking for. And it's just, I can see why we're in the shape that we're in. You just can. Because see, if Jesus didn't call you to preach, then you ought to be doing something else.
That's right.
I just tell them that. Just because you went to seminary and it pays $80,000 a year and they give you a car allowance. I said, sound good, but I wouldn't want to have to answer to that. But tell people the truth. That's what you do. You tell people the truth when the opportunity arises. You tell them the truth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Supposed to be doing. Alright, we're gonna quit. Right. It's been a pleasure, and I think I know everybody in here, maybe except a couple of people by name. And that's the way it should be. Cause it should be. Cause then you know how to pray for them. You know what to pray for them. You know when they call you, you know who they are. And the whole deal. So let's do what God called us to do. And I guarantee you we can make it a better world, a better place in which we live in anyway. If we just tell them who Jesus is and tell them the truth about it. Because there's a lot of misnomers out there that we do. We know. People pray amiss. That's what they do. They just do. They pray amiss that God ain't going to do. And they wonder why they don't answer. And then they end up in a position that they shouldn't be in. And let's don't be in that position. All right. Anybody want, has God say anything to you that you need to talk about? If you do, me and Michael, listen. Other than that, we're going to quit. I'm going to pray for you and we're going to be dismissed. How about that? Father, I bless your people with the ability to hear what you've said, ability to put it out there the way you would have them to do it. I bless them with all in these men. I bless them with peace, your presence, prosperity in the word. I bless them, Lord, that they will be able to relate to their families. Talk to them. And Lord, I bless them with you and your son Jesus most of all, that they will be all they can be in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.